Often we have heard, and maybe even said ourselves, no good deed goes unpunished, bemoaning the fact that so often our good intentions and even our good efforts seem to be met with less than positive results. We may believe that we are putting out our best efforts, doing our very best job, and rather than being rewarded or even acknowledged, we find that or perceive that we are ignored, or worse even, criticized and discredited. I'm not sure that this experience is broad enough to be considered part of the human condition universally. Probably not everyone has had the maxim, no good deed goes unpunished, run through their mind. And I imagine that most of us, even those of us who have thrown that pithy statement out in frustration, never imagined that there was a lot of scriptural support for that sentiment. Let's just agree to leave the crucifixion out of this, because it seems that the unjust death of one who was the embodiment of love is the ultimate support for no good deed goes unpunished. Disregarding that seemingly in-your-face example of support, we need not look any farther than today's reading from Exodus and from John for more than enough to footnote that supposition. Through the grace of God, the people of Israel have been brought out of captivity into freedom. They are no longer held in bondage. They have no one to answer to but the one who made them free. No longer are they forced to work in back-breaking situations for unbearable hours under the watchful eye of those who will whip them until they comply. No longer are they subject to one who thinks himself to be God. They are free and are promised a new life, one like they have never experienced before, in a land flowing with all things good, milk and honey. They've seen the plagues. They've watched the waters part for their safety and then rush down and destroy those who would prevent their release. They have lived these experiences and are now free. And what happens? They complain. At this point, the saying that Tom throws around from time to time comes to mind: you'd complain if they hung you with a new rope. Freshly free from oppression, the people of God forget. It seems that the people of God always have a problem with long-term memory, focusing only on their immediate needs, or more honestly, desires. And still, God does not forget God's promise. God does not send more plagues. God does not throw up God's hands, yell, "Oy vey," and desert God's people. God responds to their cry once again. God responds to the complaints of his people and meets their needs. God doesn't remove himself or respond with frustration as his people do. God gives the people what they ask for, even when they don't, in our reckoning, deserve it. Once again, affirming that God is God and we are not. Jesus has just provided food for 5,000 people with what started out as 5 loaves and 2 fish. There was much provided out of seemingly nothing. All were fed and had their fill, and there was much left. There is plenty for everyone in this Jesus-God economy. After the banquet, Jesus and his disciples leave. Remember, they've been looking for a quiet place before the hungry crowd found them to start with. They are still trying to get some time to talk without the disruption of the crowds, but that will not be. The people are in need, and they know that Jesus can supply what they need, and they believe that he will give them what they want. They are desperate, and they act out of that desperation. They are needy, and they act out of that neediness. The crowd that follows Jesus and his disciples have been fed in abundance with much left over. There has been much out of nothing. And still, they question Jesus. They want more. They are so needy and hungry and desperate that they clamor around him. Why did you leave? When did you get here? You fed us. We want more. And Jesus does not respond in a 21st century vernacular, no good deed goes unpunished. But he says, you're here because you saw signs, which is John's word for miracles. And Jesus reframes, or tries to, for the desperate and needy folks, what is really important, which is not the food that feeds your body for a moment, but the food that feeds your soul forever. And naturally, his words are met with resistance. The desperate people can't hear words about souls and eternity. They need something now. Or at least that is their perception. These are well-schooled people. They know their scripture. They know the story. They know about the time their ancestors spent in the wilderness. Perhaps they forgot the complaining part, but maybe they didn't. What they knew was when the people of God asked God, God responded. What they forgot was that it was God that responded, not their heralded patriarch Moses. Jesus, ever patient, ever loving, says to their chastisement, and reminds them that God gave and gives this bread that is needed, the bread that gives life. And perhaps, somewhat surprisingly, they do not all turn and walk away. In their hearts, they know that this is truth, that what they really need is what God will provide. Or to turn that around, God will provide that which they need for life in abundance. And the response, as John tells it, is they all say, Sir, give us this bread always. And every time I hear this small excerpt from John's gospel, my mind immediately races back to my childhood when I sat in rapt attention in front of a small screened but very large television, watching for the first time and many times after the movie version of Charles Dickens' story, Oliver Twist. As a child myself, I couldn't imagine being in such a horrific situation in an orphanage with no one to care. The one line I remember vividly from this movie is a plea in the form of a question by the wide-eyed, hope-filled Oliver, who by the chance of many unfortunate circumstances has been forced into the fore and stands before a callous adult in charge of food dispersion and bravely asks, please, sir, may I have some more? I think that's where we are. If we take time to pay attention, those who so often miss the point of what Jesus was offering said to him, sir, give us this bread always. Please, sir, may I have some more? In so many ways, we are orphans, and yet at the same time, we are heirs, those who have been brought into the family of God. We sometimes remember that we've been brought through the waters into abundant love and freedom given by God. And sometimes we forget and demand signs and proof. And all the while, God is there. And all the while, God is offering us more if we will merely reach out our hands to accept it. When we hold on tightly to grudges and hurts, we can't open our hands to receive more. When our attention is focused on thoughts like no good deed goes unpunished, we remain empty and close ourselves off from the freedom of God's grace. We are like those who were brought out of bondage into freedom. We are like those who have been fed in abundance. We have been fed the bread of life so that we may share that life with the world. Please, sir, may I have some more?